At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Another great show for you guys today. Going to be very similar to yesterday's show. We continue our college football preview, looking at the Oregon Ducks today, one of the most talented rosters in all of college football. Zach Neal is standing by to give us a breakdown on the Ducks. Also, we're going to continue our NFL preview. Yesterday, we opened up with the defending champion Chiefs. We'll stick in the AFC West and look at the Los Angeles Chargers today. We got the final major of the golf season coming up on Thursday with the Open Championship. We continue to preview that on a Tee It Up Tuesday. Matt Horner will join us later on in the show for Model Making Money, and then we will wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. We got the MLB All-Star Game tonight as well. Any best bets, questions, comments, thoughts that you guys have for us, especially on the Oregon Ducks, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL and YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports and let us know anything that might be on your mind. And if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. We're off and rolling to go to the Glasser guest line to talk a little Oregon Ducks with Zach Neal. You can give a follow to on X at Zachary C. Neal, managing editor for Ducks Wire. And Zach, we were talking off air, man, about the expectations for Oregon this season, how loaded this roster is. I think a lot of people have kind of heard about what Dan Lanning is building there in Eugene and just how good this roster is. If you had to point to maybe one position group on the field for Oregon, where do you think they're the most loaded this year on their team?
Man, there's so many different answers I could give. I think the most exciting one for Oregon fans in particular is the wide receiver position, because you got Tez Johnson coming back, you got Evan Stewart coming in from Texas A&M in the transfer portal, a ton of depth there as well. Wide receiver is not typically a position that Oregon has been fantastic at. I mean, they're solid, but they don't have like any star NFL wide receivers that have come through the program. We'll see what Troy Franklin does with the Broncos this year, but I think the talent there is absolutely loaded at that position. But anywhere you look, I mean, there's really not a position on the roster that you feel concerned about, really. I mean, they feel great about quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, secondary. I mean, you name it. I think fans are pretty excited about how this roster looks.
We were talking about Ohio State yesterday and how loaded that roster is, and right now these are the two favorites in the Big Ten. Was talking with Joshua Perry for Ohio State. He said he had concerns about the offensive line a little bit for Ohio State, and certainly Will Howard at quarterback. You said Oregon's kind of got dudes everywhere all over the field. If there was one position, though, that you had to look at that maybe concerns you just a bit coming into the season, what do you think's the cause for concern for Oregon this year?
think for me, it might be either the defensive line or the linebacker spot, just because they're unknown at this point. I mean, linebacker, you've got two really good starters, to Jeff Bosa and Justin Jacobs coming back, should have a really good year. Behind that, there's a lot of unknown depth, and we know how important depth is in college football, because injuries now, with the expanded college football playoff, you could play up to, you know, 15, 16, I think even 17 games if you make it all the way. So you just want to see where that depth is. And then Oregon lost a ton of defensive linemen to the NFL draft this year. They replaced them with some very, very good transfer portal players from Michigan State and Houston. And they've got some really good blue chip recruits as well. But at this point, we don't really know exactly. We haven't seen what that looks like yet. That doesn't mean there's not confidence they're going to be really good, but that may be where some of the question marks are right now.
All right, looking at their schedule, Zach, for the upcoming season, Oregon's win total right now is sitting at 10.5, and actually the over is plus money at plus 100. So Vegas is thinking that Oregon's probably going to go 10-2 this season. Everybody's got that Oregon and Ohio State game circled, which is going to be fantastic. Looking at the rest of the Ducks' schedule, though, this year, what's the game that you look at and you think could give them a lot of problems?
You know, you look at the two that you schedule late in the season are Michigan and Wisconsin. Those are the ones that if they're going to lose any game, I think it's, other than the Ohio State game, which I think is their most losable game, I would say, just because of how good Ohio State is. That game's in Eugene and not the stadium. I think that the Ducks should be favored by a little bit and have a very good chance to win. But, you know, you're traveling to the Big House in November. You're traveling to Wisconsin in November. Those are tough games, and those are against very good teams. So, I think Oregon in a neutral field on paper has a better roster, but, you know, it's college football. These games can go anyway. So, 10.5 wins, I personally would take the over, because I think that there's a really good chance they can go in 11-1 this year. That Ohio State game may be tough, but other than that, I think Oregon's got a really good chance to win every other game on their schedule.
Zach, as we know, I mean, the way that these rosters are constructed in college football, everybody's trying to model their team after everybody else in the conference, right? The Big Ten for years has been known as a hard-nosed league, Pac-12 a little more finesse. Do you think Dan Lanning has built a team there in Oregon in just a short period of time that they can go on the road at Michigan, at Wisconsin in November and win those kind of physical, tough games? Because I think when people think of Oregon, they don't really think of them like an Iowa type, like a Nebraska type, a team that might muck it up there in those cold weather November games. But do you think the Ducks have built a team where they would be able to do that?
Yeah, I think we've really seen that since Stan Lanning came to Eugene. I mean, he brought that Georgia SEC-style type defensive line, defensive front, that mentality to Eugene. We've seen that in the way he recruited, seen that in the transfer portal, what he's done there. But one thing that Dan Lanning said this past year when people were asking about the Big Ten, they asked, like, how are you going to adapt to the Big Ten, that style of play? He said, you know what? These teams are going to have to adapt to us. These teams don't know how we play and the fast, the up-tempo quickness that we play with. So, yeah, we got to adapt to them a little bit in the trenches, but they're going to have to do a lot to change how they play so they can keep up with us as well. So I think there's a little bit of a give and take there. I think that one of the biggest things they focused on is depth. Like I said earlier, you really got to stay healthy. Late in the season, we've seen that derail a couple of Oregon seasons these past few years, just losing players at the end of the year. So I think they've done a really good job of making sure to cover those bases.
Zach, Oregon, I mean, they are talented. We've talked about it here already at the beginning of the show. But obviously last year they lost to Washington a couple times, two games that really could have gone either way. For people that are listening, what would be the case for backing Oregon this year and that things are going to be different for the Ducks and they're going to find a way to win those kind of games this year when they go up against the Ohio States, the Michigan of the world, and that maybe this can be the team that can win a national championship? What's going to be different about this year than maybe last year?
I think you just have to lean on Dan Lanning's experience now. I mean, he was a second-year head coach last year, and he is an ultra-aggressive head coach as well. He's going to take those gambles and go for it on fourth down and just be ultra-aggressive late in the game. Last year, there were some 50-50 calls that didn't go his way. That doesn't mean they're going to go his way this time, but I think that he's going to continue to be the ultra-aggressive guy that he is and try and make those plays late in the game and trust his players to make the winning plays. So I know there was, you know, a couple of tough games last year against Washington. I think Oregon fans are really excited for that Washington game this year because, you know, we've lost to them three straight times now. but Washington looks completely different than they did last year after losing much of their roster, their coaching staff. But yeah, that Ohio State game, that's going to be a fun one. I just think that a lot of people are curious to see what Dan Lanning does in these, you know, intense spots late in game, if he's going to go the aggressive route again. I think that's who he is. That's who he's always going to be, and he's going to trust his players to make the plays when it matters.
What can you tell us about Dylan Gabriel so far? Obviously, Bo Nix nearly won the Heisman last year with Oregon, and right now, Dylan Gabriel's the co-favorite at BetMGM to win the Heisman Trophy. Expectations are going to be big for him this season. Kind of what have you seen so far? What have you heard about Gabriel coming into the season?
I mean, we really know what he is. This is not a case where he's coming in to be a new starter, and it's like, oh, I wonder what he's going to do with this offense. We've seen him play for, what, 5 years now between UCF and Oklahoma. We know exactly what he's going to be. He's going to be a very solid passer. He's going to use his legs when he needs to. He's going to be really good at getting the ball to players around him, and that's what you can do in Oregon's offense. They have so many playmakers at tight end, running back, wide receiver. He doesn't have to do too much. And that's one thing that we saw with Bo Nix once he came from Auburn to Oregon, that he stopped trying to make the home run play on his own, and he started to just trust the teammates around him. That's what I'm excited to see with Dylan Gabriel. How does he operate the system and be more of a system quarterback rather than a hero quarterback? Not that he can't be the hero, but he doesn't need to. I mean, if he is a B or a B-plus quarterback in Oregon's system, they're going to be really good. He does not need to be an A-minus or an A-plus quarterback for this team to win a championship.
I'll leave you with this, Zach. What do you think is the better bet this season? Gabriel to win the Heisman Trophy at plus 750 or the Ducks to win the whole thing at plus 800?
I think the Ducks to win the whole thing just because, you know, Gabriel doesn't have to be amazing for them to be good. And I think there's chances where if he tries to go back into his old habits and be too much of a hero quarterback, it could hurt them because he doesn't need to. He's got the guys around him to help out. So, like we said before the show started, I think this is the year that Oregon fans are the most excited they've ever been because that championship feels very attainable. This feels like the best chance they've had in a long, long time to actually get to that mountaintop. At those odds, I would definitely take that money.
Yeah, can't wait to watch them this year. They have the talent, and they are going to be really fun to watch. He's Zach Neal. Give him a follow on X at Zachary C. Neal, managing editor for Ducks Wire, joining us here on Send It In. Zach, great to meet you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the season. And something tells me we might be catching up Ohio State and Oregon there at the beginning of October, talking about that game. Look forward to it.
Yes, can't wait.
All right, a lot of good stuff there from Zach Neal. Continuing our preview now on the Oregon Ducks as they have Idaho to open up the season, and then they have Boise State. They're at Oregon State in week three. Then the bye week hits, and then they get into Big Ten play. Obviously, everybody's going to circle that game on October 12th that I was just talking about with Zach, Ohio State and Oregon, right? Maybe two of the best teams, if not the two best teams in the country. Obviously, Georgia is in that conversation as well. What jumps out to me about Oregon's schedule, though, is those two November road games against Michigan and against Wisconsin. We've talked about Washington already in the Pac-12. We've talked about USC already in the Big Ten, Washington and USC in the Big Ten, and how those teams, obviously Pac-12 teams, they're used to playing warmer weather schools in November. And I think that was the big thing. When we had all this conference realignment and we knew that USC and UCLA were going to be playing in the Big Ten, all of us immediately thought, man, what is a USC or a UCLA game against Iowa or against Northwestern or Nebraska or Indiana? What is that going to look like in November? Now, USC's schedule is very favorable this year, and they don't really have to play one of those games in November. UCLA, kind of the same thing. Washington, pretty similar. But Oregon, getting those two teams, and again, Dan Lanning is different than some of these other coaches who were coaching in the Pac-12 last year because he does have that SEC background. So he's built his teams a little bit different, and I think they are physicality-wise built to handle going on the road into Ann Arbor or Madison and playing in a game where it's snowing or it's frigid temperatures or something like that, where maybe a Lincoln Riley team wouldn't be equipped to do that. But that is something to monitor, right? Because I think obviously people are going to look at those games and you know, Oregon's going to be a small favorite against Michigan. They're going to probably be a touchdown favorite against Wisconsin. But don't undersell the fact that those kids are going to have to go on the road to those places. One of, if not both of those games potentially could be at night, and it's probably going to be cold temperature. So Oregon's win total is sitting at 10.5, and this is one of the most talented teams in the country. They're plus 800 to win the national championship, which is among betting favorites. Ohio State's the small favorite against them, so Vegas probably figures they're going to drop that game, and then it's probably going to come down to that Michigan or Wisconsin game. Can they win one of those two games? Can they win both of those games? We'll see what happens. The home schedule outside of Ohio State, pretty favorable. I mean, Michigan State, they're going to absolutely kill. Maryland, they're going to kill. Illinois, they're going to kill. So it really does come down to those three games. But it's the fact that they play Michigan and Wisconsin in November, I think, is pretty interesting. Dylan Gabriel, again, co-favorite to win the Heisman Trophy at plus 750. Zach talked about the receiving core that Oregon has. They are going to be loaded. It's going to be a ton of speed, a ton of talent, and playmaking on the outside, which is what Dylan Gabriel had at Oklahoma last year. I bet Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman Trophy last year at 40-1, and I like that bet. I don't love him on this bet, though, to win the favorite. I think his price should be shorter, and again, going back to those games against Michigan and November, if you're betting on a quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy, you got to look at some of their scheduled games towards the end of the year. And those games against Michigan and that game against Wisconsin is going to mean a lot for Dylan Gabriel's Heisman campaign. Well, if he's playing games in Ann Arbor and Madison in November, there's a great chance it's going to be snowy. There's a great chance it's going to be like 10 degrees or below. That is not ideal throwing weather, especially for a guy who's played his college football in Orlando at UCF and in Norman, Oklahoma, where it's pretty nice weather out there. So I think that adjustment, playing those two teams with those two defenses at that time of the year, not ideal, especially with some of those other betting favorites, like a guy like Quinn Ewers, who's going to be in the SEC, or a guy like Carson Beck, who's going to be in the SEC. So I can understand why Gabriel is the favorite like he is, because of his experience and because of the team that he plays on. But when you look at the schedule, those road games against Michigan and Wisconsin in November, I think are really going to hurt his Heisman campaign. That would be the bet that I would stay away from. Wouldn't touch Gabriel to win the Heisman Trophy. Wouldn't bet Oregon to win the national championship either. Dan Lanning, I got to see it before I can believe. No doubt he's already established himself as one of the top coaches in the country, but you got to be able to show consistently that you can beat the big boys. So that Ohio State game going to be really key for Oregon this season. There's really nothing I would touch with the Ducks this season. The 10.5 on the win total feels about right. Don't really want to bet them to win the Big Ten at plus 210. Again, those games against Ohio State, Michigan, it's going to be key for some of the tiebreakers to potentially see who plays in Indianapolis, but be cautious of that Dylan Gabriel ticket to win the Heisman Trophy just because of those road games that he has in November. All right, let's move to the NFL now. Talk a little Los Angeles Chargers. And folks, this is my favorite NFL futures bet of the entire season. It's on the Los Angeles Chargers to miss the playoffs at minus 110. I can understand why that this bet is a pick'em, why it's a 50-50 bet in the eyes of the odds makers on whether or not the Chargers are going to make or miss the playoffs. The schedule's fairly easy. They do have to play the AFC North, but obviously playing in the AFC West, they get the Raiders twice a year, they get the Broncos twice a year, and then also they get to play the NFC South, which is probably going to be the worst division in football. So on paper, the schedule is pretty favorable. However, it's year one of Jim Harbaugh, and look at what the Chargers did in the offseason. They brought in a new GM. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. They got rid of their two top wide receivers. They changed their staff. They changed their personnel. There's just a lot of change, and the AFC is loaded as it is. I think it's going to be tough for the Chargers to make the playoffs. You got to keep in mind, too, they play in the same division as the Chiefs. So right off the bat, they're not winning the division, and the Chargers are only going to be competing for three spots to try and make the playoffs, the three wild card spots. So that's why I think the minus 110 for them to make the playoffs is a bad bet, because the AFC West is by far the division where you look at a team and you're saying, yeah, they're going to win. Every other division, the teams, the favorites are plus money. The Texans in the South, the Ravens in the North, the Bills in the East. Every other division is kind of up for grabs. AFC West, it's not that way. So you combine the fact that the Chargers probably aren't going to win their division, and then they got all these new changes on their team, and you go from Brandon Staley to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh has won everywhere he's gone. There's no question in my mind he's going to turn the Chargers into a winner. He's got one of the most talented quarterbacks in football in Justin Herbert. But there's also something to be said, too, that a coach that goes into these organizations like the Chargers, who has this stigma around it, that they just find ways to lose. They invent new ways to lose, much like when Stefanski had to go into Cleveland or much like when Dan Campbell had to go in Detroit. Those things didn't just happen overnight. It took some time. It didn't just take 1 year. So I think in year one of Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers are going to struggle. I love them to miss the playoffs at minus 110. I would take the under 8.5 wins at plus 135 as well. My favorite bet of the NFL season, the Chargers to miss the playoffs at minus 110. All right, let's talk some golf. It's Teed Up Tuesday here on Send It In. We got the year's final major, the Open Championship at Royal Troon. I do love the Open Championship. I think this golf course at Royal Troon is a really good one, too. And what's great about the Open Championship, you know, for the Masters, obviously it's the only major that these guys play every single year. So course familiarity, experience is a big deal. Plus the field, it's invite only, so it's not as big as some of the other majors. The U.S. Open is the hardest courses that they play the entire year. It's the toughest test in golf. So really, only 15 to 20 golfers can kind of win that event every single year. PGA Championship has kind of turned into a birdie fest. You know, yeah, you're producing some of the top players that win that event, but really, it just feels like kind of an elevated event. It doesn't feel any different than like than Riviera, the Memorial, or something like that. The Open Championship, what I love is that all the best golfers are really only out in Europe for 2 weeks of the year. They play these links-style golf courses, and it's just such an adjustment from what they'd usually play. And I just love the test, and I love the different style of golf. Obviously, this is going to be your traditional cut of links-style golf course. It's going to be a coastline golf course. But unlike most of the open courses that we see on the Open Championship Rota, the key for this course that we talked about yesterday, you have to be a good ball striker and you got to be precise with your irons, because a lot of times these greens on these Open Championship courses are massive. So you got to be a great lag putter. These greens that they have at Royal Troon are the smallest that we see on the Open Championship Rota. So that's a big part of the handicap this week. So you want guys that are great iron players and that are precise. And Ludwig Åberg was a guy that we liked last week. I like him again this week. I don't like him to win, though, because Ludwig always has one round every tournament where he doesn't play well. So because of that, I'll only bet him in the top 10 at plus money. But I think he's a good value there. Xander Schauffele, same thing. Xander doesn't have any flaws in his game. He's an incredibly good, well-rounded player. He likes playing in the Open Championship. I think a top 10 on Xander is going to be good. Then in the 25-1 range, for me, these two guys are all about value. Victor Hovland is a guy who's played the Open Championship three times. He's never finished worse than outside of tied for 13th, and he's an elite ball striker. So of all the Open Championship courses that he's played, this is the one that should fit Vic the best. John Rahm, obviously much has been made about his season. He's fared horribly so far in the majors. He's actually played pretty well on the LIV Tour, and historically he's been very good at the Open Championship. He finished runner-up last year. I think 25-1 on still one of the most talented players in golf is a very good play as well. Couple of guys at 40-1 that I like. Tony Finau is one of the hottest golfers on the planet. Three straight top 10 finishes, five straight top 20 finishes, and he absolutely loves the Open Championship. He's played in the Open seven times. He has finished tied for 30th or better six of those seven times. Tony Finau, I think, is worth a look. Tom Kim at 40-1, I also think, is worth a look as well. Tom Kim just loves him some Lynx golf. He plays it very well, and when we're on a golf course where you got to be precise with your irons, Tom Kim is a guy that you want. So I would look at Tom Kim and Tony Finau at 40-1 as well. Then Hideki Matsuyama at 45-1, another guy that I like quite a bit this week as well. Of course, tomorrow we're going to give out our full card for the Open Championship and play a little Shark Tank as well. B Mills, I see a question from you. Scottie Scheffler, top five is plus 100 for the Open. Can't believe it. Also thinking of Morikawa and Ludwig, top 10 at plus money. What do you think? Scottie Scheffler, B Mills, you know the role on our show. It's an auto play with him in the top five. Morikawa, I would shy away from at the Open Championship. I know he won it a couple of years back, but there was no wind to speak of the year that he won it, which you will never see again. Morikawa is not a good wind player, so I always worry about him at the Open, but Ludvig, as I just mentioned, I do like him in the top 10. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Corner, get some of his thoughts on the All-Star game tonight, and also maybe some futures bets that he likes as well. Matt, before we do that, what are the BetQL five-star plays for today?
So actually, we got nothing. We got nothing for you in terms of five-star plays. We don't have any model bets today. Obviously, as you know, this sports slate is not the greatest. But I will say, head over to BetQL.com. We have a lot of articles of our own picks. Me, Dan, Lucy, all of us, Kate. We have some good picks for you over there. So head over there and take a look at our picks, because the model ain't got nothing today.
All right, very good. Well, Matt, I know you got something for us in the All-Star game tonight. So what are some things that you like?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the American League on the money line here. I like them over the NL. Just taking a look at their roster, the American League has the advantage both on offense and pitching, in my opinion. The average WRC plus for AL hitters is 141 compared to 139 for the National League. It's really close, but they have a slight advantage for the American League. Pitching, I think the American League has a bigger advantage here. They have a 293 expected ERA and a 310 expected FIP combined. National League, a 315 expected ERA, 332 expected FIP. So overall, the American League, I just think, has better players. And I think in the end, that could give them the advantage. Now, everybody's going to be taking the under in this game because a lot of people have already seen the trend since 2006. The under is 14-1-2. So everybody has seen that trend at this point. So a lot of people are going to be betting the under. I am just kind of staying away at it. I think this total is good at 7.5. If it does get to a 7, if you find a 7 in the market, and you can get a reasonable price on it, not something that's juiced up to the minus 125 or something, but if you can get a 7 at like minus 110, minus 115, I might consider playing the over there. In contrast, everybody's going to be playing the under.
All right, very good. Matt, today on the show, we talked about the Oregon Ducks. We talked about the Los Angeles Chargers. Just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on either of those teams, maybe a futures bet that you like, either regarding the Ducks or the Chargers.
Yeah, so you also, a lot of people are probably seeing that there has been a lot of sharp action on Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman for the Oregon Ducks. His number was 14-1. It is down to 8-1 at a lot of places. A lot of sharp money coming in on Dylan Gabriel. I bit a little bit into that when it was 12-1. 8-1 is kind of like, I don't know, that's kind of where I would consider him. He should be in the market at this point. But if you want to sprinkle him, I don't mind it. That's really the only official play that I have on either of these teams. Take a look at the Chargers. The public loves the Chargers. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh goes there. Everybody's going to want to bet their futures for them to do great things and everything like that. I agree with you, though. I'm not sure that this would be the year that I would back them his first year there. Like you said, he's won everywhere he's gone. He'll probably turn the Chargers into a great organization that has a lot of success. But this is his first year. I would be hesitant to be playing the Chargers right now. A lot of the public is going to be loving them. So, yeah, nothing for me really on the Chargers.
No question about it. Yeah, love the Chargers to miss the playoffs this year. Then, Matt, before I let you go, we got the year's final major in golf, the Open Championship. I know you dabble with golf every now and then. Is there a golfer or two that's sticking out to you this week?
Yeah, you were just talking about him, actually. Victor Hovland, 28-1 is what I got him at. I put a little sprinkle there on him. As you were just talking about, he is an elite ball striker. He is 10th in strokes gained off the tee. And I think that plays well for him here at this course. Royal Troon plays well for elite ball strikers. And I think it just kind of matches up the biggest strength for him, and it minimizes his biggest weakness around the greens and approach to the green. So overall here, I think there's value on Hovland if you're going to take a long shot, which is pretty much all I ever bet in golf is these longer shots. I don't really take favorites. I just sprinkle on these longer shots. So 28-1 for Hovland here, I think it's really good value. So give me Victor Hovland at 28-1 as my long shot bet.
I love it. Totally agree. Should be fun. Can't wait for it to start on Thursdays. Matt Horner joining us here for Model Making Money on Send It In. Matt, always appreciate the time, man. Good luck on your bets tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
For sure. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. We are getting some breaking news here per Mike Garofolo. Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade, so potentially something we will talk about here over the next coming days if San Francisco does indeed try and trade Brandon Ayuk. All right, we got a minute left or so to wrap up the show. Let's get into our best bets for today. Going streaking, Trey Turner is going to be our guy today to record a hit at plus 100. Probably only going to get 2 at-bats. He's batting second for the National League. He's going to face Corbin Burns. I think he's going to get a hit off of Corbin, but I like him to get a base hit in one of his 2 at-bats. It's going to be Trey Turner plus 100 to record a hit. My prop lock is going to be a Yerfy in the All-Star game, plus 115. Don't think the AL is going to score on Paul Skenes, but I do think the NL is going to score on Corbin Burns. I like the Yerfy at plus 115. Dog of the day, how about an MVP play? Give me Ellie De La Cruz at 30-1. Is Ellie just not the perfect guy to win an MVP in an All-Star event? All the flair, all the dramatic with his power and speed and defensive ability. He's going to start the game on the bench, but if he can come off the bench and make a big splash, I think Ellie is worth a play tonight at 30-1. And then my best bet is going to be under 7.5 runs. Matt was just talking about it. The trend is well known. 14-2-1 to the under in the last 17 All-Star games. That's fine. I'll continue to ride it. There's a reason why the under keeps hitting, because of the old saying, good pitching beats good hitting. Just the way it is. It's especially in today's game, and obviously with all the relievers that we're going to see tonight in the All-Star game, it's just going to be tough to score runs in this game. So I'll go under 7.5 in the All-Star game tonight between the AL and the NL. Once again, our best bets for tonight, Trey Turner to record a base hit. Yerfy in the All-Star game tonight is going to be our prop lock. Ellie De La Cruz to win MVP is our dog of the day. And under 7.5 runs is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Zach Neal, Matt Horner for joining the show. See you guys tomorrow. Tour Junkies joins us. Preview the Open Championship.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.